So the reading is from John chapter 20, starting at verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Morning, everybody. So let's start this morning with a little story about my childhood. I grew up in a small country town called Albany, which is on the south coast of WA, about 400 kilometres from Perth. And as a kid, the big smoke of Perth was exciting. And every now and again, we got to go up and to visit. We had some wider family there, and we also enjoyed many of the new experiences that us country bumpkins wouldn't normally get, such as we could visit a zoo, we could go to sporting events, and there's even this funny box thing that travelled on tracks called a train. And on one of these trips, we took the train into the city, and we got off at Perth Central Station. And for a country kid, Perth Central Station was something else. Right, the crowd was huge, and we were bumping into many different people as we tried to find our exits. And in this crowd, there's a man who was wearing the exact same flannel shirt as what my dad was wearing. So naturally, I followed him. And it wasn't too long before I realized that I was lost in an unfamiliar crowd, in an unfamiliar place. And instantly, there was a fear of being alone. Now, I'm sure you can imagine the how that only a young child could make in this situation. And then I'm sure you can imagine the relief at being reunited with my parents. Like maybe you've had a similar experience. A rollercoaster of emotions, being reunited with someone you love after a moment of being lost. And in a sense, this is exactly the state of the disciples as we enter this story this morning. John spends a lot of time focusing on Jesus revealing himself to a number of different people after his resurrection. And why is this so important? Surely Jesus' work on earth was now done. He died, as we heard last Friday, and then he rose again, as we heard last Sunday. But why is it so important that he meets with Mary, with his disciples, and later with Thomas? Why does John give us so many details into these different meetings? Well, Jesus is passing his baton over to the disciples and through them to the wider church, including us here at Riverbank. So what does this mean for us? As we explore how and to whom our Saviour revealed himself on the day after his resurrection, we'll focus this morning under this main heading, the power of a risen Saviour. And this risen Saviour brings three gifts to this meeting with the disciples. And the first gift that we'll look at is the gift of peace. Turn with me again to verse 19. It says, "On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.'" Jesus was lost. The disciples, they did not know where he was. He'd been killed. He'd been hung on a cross in front of the crowds. He'd been buried in a tomb. And then just this morning, the disciples had been alerted by Mary that the tomb was empty. There was no body there. So they ran down to the tomb for themselves to go have a look. And it was true. Jesus' body was not there. The clothes were still lying in place, but their leader and their master was gone. Nowhere to be found. He was AWOL. He was missing. What were they to do now? You can imagine that an urgent council meeting is called. The disciples, they all meet in a room and fearfully they lock the door. They hide away. Verse 19 says, they hide away. They lock the door because of the fear of the Jewish leaders. These leaders had just killed their leader, had shown complete contempt for them. Peter had fought them at the arrest, and he even drew blood. Surely the Jewish leaders were out to get them now. And before he died, Jesus even told the disciples that this was likely. Earlier, John recalled the words in chapter 16, verse 2, where Jesus says to the disciples, "They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think that they are offering a service to God." No doubt the disciples were trying to process the events of the last 4 days. It was first the betrayal, then the arrest, the kangaroo court, the crucifixion, the burial, and now the empty tomb. This is a lot for them to process in such a small time. And it's possible in their reflection that they were actually thinking back to the last time that they had been with Jesus. This would not have really been such a pleasant memory for them. Most of them left him through this time. Most of them ran away from him. Some of them denied him. And some of them watched him die. Can you imagine the guilt and the what ifs that were running through their minds at this time? And yet it is exactly in this state that Jesus comes to them. With minds full of fear, guilt, and apprehension about what is to come. And Jesus doesn't come with a loud, "Hello, the house," or a knock on the door. But no, he just appears. The door remains locked, but Jesus is there. Folks, there is no human barrier that can withstand the power of our Saviour. And then he speaks to them with such comforting words. Verse 19 says, "Peace be with you." These words, they're gentle and they're calm. The disciples, they could have expected Jesus' words to be scolding, angry, or even worse, the, "I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed." But they're the ones that left him. They're the ones that are hiding in fear in a locked room. After 3 years of leadership training, and yet this is how their leader finds them. But yet Jesus still has more training to give them. So he stood there and he showed them his wounds and he offers the peace that his sacrifice has won. The end of verse 19 and verse 20, where Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. These are the wounds that prove the death that proves the resurrection, and the resurrection that proves your eternity. Are you here this morning in a state of anxiety? Are the doors of your heart locked for fear of failure? Are you looking back and thinking about all the what ifs in your life? Do you ever fear to let people know who you really are? Are you frustrated with where you are right now? Maybe your life is not quite going according to the plan that you had for it. Maybe this morning you're anxious about your health, your income, your children, your marriage, world wars, rising fuel costs, about decisions you need to make, maybe even about decisions that you have made and they're not going so well. Are you anxious over guilt? Anxious over your identity and salvation in Christ? Or maybe you're even anxious about your anxiety. But this is the state of the disciples when our Saviour appears to them. And not just once, but twice, he offers them peace. Jesus, who can appear through a locked door, he knew where the hearts of his disciples were at. He knew their fear factor, and it is exactly at this time that he comes to see them. He knows that their strength is low, and he brings them peace that only his saving grace can bring. This is a peace that only a relationship and a fellowship with Christ can bring. Is it a peace that cannot be found in the emptiness of this world? 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you." Now, I'm no doctor or psychologist, and I acknowledge there are different types, there are different levels of anxiety, and that generalized anxiety disorder is a real thing. And there are times when medical aid and clinical help is needed. But what John brings to us this morning is the good news that we have a Saviour who has gone through the ultimate pain on this earth. Indeed, he's drank from the cup of the Father's wrath. Death could not hold him down. And now he's in heaven saying to you, "My child, I know the feeling. I know the pain. I've been there. I have conquered it. Cast all your anxieties to me, for my grace is sufficient for you." And then let's notice the disciples' reaction. The end of verse 20. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. This is not just happy, but this is a joy which has put aside any other thoughts. They are fully captured in this moment, and nothing can distract them. This is what a peace in Jesus brings. It's an overflowing of joy in the presence of our Saviour. Resting in his peace, there is a joy that cannot be found anywhere else. And we're not fully there yet on this earth. We may struggle with anxiety, with guilt and other pains. But Jesus will call us to eternity with him. And it is in this eternity, proved in Jesus defeating death, that our joy will be complete in his presence. And while we can look forward to this life overflowing with joy, resting in the peace that Jesus has to offer, there is work to be done here on this earth. And this is a second gift that Jesus brings to his disciples. He brings purpose in life. Let's read verse 21. And again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Jesus now speaks what can only be described as John's version of the Great Commission. And how did the Father send Jesus? What was Jesus' task? John 3, verse 16 to 18 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Jesus' task, it was to love the broken, to bring truth, and to show the love of the Father and to bring people into his kingdom. And now, Jesus is passing that baton over to the mission of the church. And this is not a suggestion. This is not a, well, you can do this if you like. No, this is a direct command. We are sent. Sent with a peace that only Jesus can bring. This is not just a task for missionaries and for evangelists, but this is a task for the whole church. This is a task for you and for me. How is Riverbank going in this task? How are you personally going in this task? Are you living a sent life? Or are you living a comfortable couch potato life? A life sent with a direct command from Jesus? Jesus leaves no room here for lethargy. And here at Riverbank, we're considering at the moment a congregation plant and how best to do it. And the whole purpose of this plan is to reach further into the community than where we reach now. To be able to bring the gospel of Jesus further to those around us. And as we work through this plan and we try to figure out the best way to do things, no doubt there's feelings of excitement, feelings of eagerness, but maybe there's also some feelings of nervousness, feelings of doubt, feelings of guilt and frustration. This church plant, it may mean that you no longer get to worship with your family or friends that you have so long worshipped with. It may mean that you need to consider worshipping at a time that's actually quite inconvenient for you. You may be called to give up the 5 p.m. service that you have loved so dearly for so long. You may be called further to serve in our music teams, in our youth groups, as a service leader, in our sound or our vision teams. Jesus does call every single one of us to speak to our neighbours, to our friends, to our workmates, to our teammates, and to bring his saving grace to them. What better way than by inviting them to be part of something new? A whole new congregation. But as you consider all this, and these emotions are running through your mind, maybe you're a little bit fearful, or you're a little bit uneasy about what this future looks like. But my friends, consider your Saviour. Jesus lived a perfect sent life. He left heaven. He brought light to this world. He loved the unlovable. He spoke truth when it cost him. And he went all the way to the unbearable pain of the cross. He defeated it all, and he won that victory over death. And through this, he assures you of your place in his kingdom. But then only after he has done this, then he comes and finds you behind your locked doors, and he offers you peace to an anxious heart, and he sends you out in this peace. But he goes further than this too. Not only does he send you out in this peace, but he sends you out in his power. John Piper, a reformed theologist and a retired US pastor, he says it this way. Jesus is saying, I'm sending you to extend my peace, my light, my truth, and my life in the world. I am going to the Father, but I give you my Spirit. I am the power in you. So go and glorify me in this world. That is our great purpose. In the peace of God, by the power of God, to do the will of God, for the glory of God, and for the good of others. So in the peace of God, we are sent to this world, but we do not go alone. Jesus sends us with his third gift. Firstly, he gifted us peace. Secondly, he gifted us a purpose. And now thirdly, he gifts us his power in the Spirit. Verse 22 and 23. And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, I remember as an apprentice builder, there was a particular task that took me a long time to actually master. And no, for you who are snickering in the corner, it wasn't sweeping the floors. But it was working out the roof lines when there was a height difference from one side of the building to the other. But this is the reason that my boss was there to help me guide through this. I'd make mistakes and I'd use the wrong formula, use the wrong constants, but he would guide and correct. And when the right time came, he gave me my very own version of the Little Red Roofing Book. And this has got all our constants and formulas in it. We call this our Red Roofing Bible. And in the same way, Jesus doesn't just offer us peace, send us out with a task, head back to heaven and watch the carnage unfold. No, he's given us a gift. A gift of so much greater than a little red roofing Bible. Jesus doesn't just send us out, but he equips us to do the work, and he gives us the bravery through his Spirit. John says to us in verse 22 that Jesus breathed on them. And this breathing, it's the same description in Genesis where God breathed life into Adam. Folks, it is Christ that is life-giving. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. And he is the one in whom life is found. Now, Jesus was not going to be there when the Spirit descended to this earth. This happens some 7 weeks later, and it's found in the story in Acts chapter 2. But this was his personal way of preempting what was going to happen and personally giving out this gift to his disciples. So if you're here this morning, if you're anxious about talking to others about Christ, this is okay. In fact, this is normal for most of us. But Christ doesn't just give us his peace. He gives us a means and a way to do his will. The Spirit will work in you to be courageous in those moments, to not fear the response of man. For when Christ gave his Spirit, he gave himself. Too often we can think of the redemptive story of the Bible as God so loves the world that he sent his only Son to die for sinners like that, and then we can live with him forever. And we've seen through Easter that this work was done, and this work was done very well. This is true. Christ's atoning work is complete. But the daunting, the ongoing work to bring every tribe and nation to know Jesus as Lord and Savior is still ongoing. This is why we are still here on this earth. But this work, it's not done in our own strength and our own weaknesses. Rather, it's done in the power of a triune God. In Matthew's account of this story, he puts it this way. Jesus is saying, "Behold, I am with you till the end of the age." Then John speaks of what some of this work looks like. And this verse can actually be an awkward sentence to navigate. Verse 23 says, "If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. But if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." How are we to understand this when we know that salvation is through grace alone, through Christ alone? Well, earlier in John chapter 5, verse 21, he says, "For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it." And then Mark recounts in chapter 2, verse 10, and he says that, "But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And yet now we are told that we can forgive other people for their sins. Friends, when we share the gospel, we are offering people forgiveness and a way to be reconciled to God. We are offering the words found in this very book, the book that God wrote so that all nations and tongues will know the full grace of a Saviour who died for them. Grace that offers them eternal life based on what Christ has done. Forgiveness and a peace from a Saviour who sees beyond your past, but sees your name written in His blood. Where His love ran red for your sin to be washed white. This is a Saviour that has done it all. And as Christians, we are the voice, we are the hands, and we are the feet of God in this work. The words that we speak and the love that we show, this is a seed that is planted into their hearts for the Spirit to grow it. But if we are silent, we are withholding this wonderful grace. For those who hear and repent are forgiven, and those who hear and reject are not. Who in your life needs to hear about the peace, forgiveness, and grace that Christ offers through His death? As we finish this morning, Christ's appearance after His resurrection on earth was proof that His earthly work was not quite yet complete. And this story that we've read about, it's not just a cool story about Jesus miraculously rocking up, mysteriously landing through a locked door, a bit like Harry Potter suddenly appearing in the graveyard in the Goblet of Fire. But no, this is a story about your Saviour. He's coming to you amongst your fear and anxiety, and He's offering you peace, He's giving you a purpose, and His power. Unlock the doors of your heart and find your life in the peace that Christ has to offer. And in this peace, He trusts you to bring the gospel of forgiveness to the world. So what does it look like for you to live a sent life? What does this look like at home, at Riverbank, at work, and also in the community? Friends, find your strength in His power. Put all your plans before Him, and may He bless your work. But we cannot perfectly live out this command from Christ. Only He can fulfill perfectly what the Father sent Him to do. But through the cross, we are made right with Him. Because of the cross, He has given us His Spirit. And in the power of His Spirit, we are to bring the forgiveness of sins. So, my friends, in the power of the Spirit, hear this from a sinful, imperfect person. I encourage you all to accept as a free gift His peace, His purpose, and His power. Let's pray. Our mighty and heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus and for His saving work. We thank You that Jesus rose from the dead and then He did reveal Himself to a number of people. We thank You that we can be assured that in our anxieties and struggles, He will meet us. And He will meet us with peace. So we pray now for this peace. May it fill all of our hearts. And in the power of Your Spirit, may we continue the work that Christ has started. We pray You bless this day of worship and fellowship. And may we as the people of Riverbank love the unlovable, speak truth when it hurts, and bring the grace of the cross to those in our lives. Help us to shine the light of Jesus to those who are close to us and to those who we meet. In the name of our risen Saviour, who is alive and gives us strength in our mission, we pray. Amen.